Thanks for longing for a joy you cannot find. A treasure eludes you. Jesus told a story like that. It's about a hidden treasure that once discovered brings life-changing joy. But before we get started on our little journey, I want you to know something. Some books try to motivate giving out of guilt. This isn't one of them. This book is about something else, the joy of giving. The treasure principle has long been buried. It's time to unearth it. It's a simple yet profound idea with radical implications. Once you grasp it and put it into practice, nothing will ever look the same. And believe me, you won't want it to. When you discover the secret joy of the treasure principle, I guarantee you'll be content with less. And as we think about that, that's always hard to understand. We're going to have ask God's help to see that, kingdom principle. Let's pray and ask him for his blessing. Lord God, as we come before you today, as we think about our faith and our finances, that spiritually they do play a part in our life and that we are connected to them, and that you talked a lot about our faith and our finances. And today we are going to study the treasure principle, something where you tell us to not put our hopes, our affections, our satisfaction on things that won't last, that are temporary and transient, but to put our eyes on things that are eternal and unseen. So Lord, help us to do that today. We do pray for those that have been in the hospital, those who have lost loved ones. We ask, Lord, for your tremendous power and comfort through the Holy Spirit to help them. We think of Kathy Peter now, who recently had a problem with her health. We just ask, Lord, that you'd be with her as she's taking care of so many people at the hospital as a chaplain. We just pray for her now as she struggles, that the doctors will be able to help her, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today we are starting the series called The Treasure Principle, and today we're looking at chapter 6, verses 19 through 24, but I want to just highlight this because we're pulling them out of the Sermon on the Mount. If you remember, the Sermon on the Mount starts in chapter 5 and ends at chapter 7. But as you know, that we believe God is calling Water Dam Church to expand our building in order to meet our most significant needs, as well as make a greater impact for the kingdom of God. And we've done a lot of things already. We've broken down walls. We've remodeled rooms. We've moved our offices across the street, and there's no more walls to knock down. We've got to expand our facilities because we believe in the vision of transforming lives through Jesus Christ, and that we believe that it's worth the effort to raise up the capital that will be needed to raise funds for the building project because of God's kingdom. So as we have done all these things, we believe that souls are being saved here. We believe that marriages are strengthened, that leaders are developed and deployed, and that ministry is being multiplied. All those things are supposed to be happening. As Jesus talks about faith and finances, we're going to talk about it today with seriousness, because Jesus talked a lot about finances. Just in this book alone, he talks about the fact that Jesus spoke 15% of everything that Jesus said relates to this topic, more than his teachings on heaven and hell combined. Jesus was connecting our spiritual lives and our stewardship of money. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus starts out in the very beginning, if you have your Bibles open, in verse 1 there, he warns us about something, but he tells us that we're supposed to be living in such a way that we're living before the face of God. And there's a Latin term for that called coram Deo, and that is shared in R.C. Sproul's Ligonier. He puts out that magazine every week, and at the bottom of it, it says coram Deo. It's about living before the face of God, that we are under the eyes of God. Nothing that we do is outside of his purview. So as we think about coram Deo, the phrase literally refers to something that takes place in the presence of or before the face of God. To live in coram Deo is to live one's entire life in the presence of God, under the authority of God, to the glory of God. I want to show you what I'm talking about by pointing something out to you. God richly provides us with everything to enjoy, that we are living under his divine sovereignty and provision. And it involves more than a reluctant submission to sheer sovereignty that is motivated out of fear of punishment. It involves recognizing that there is no higher goal than offering honor to God. Our lives are to be living sacrifices, oblations, offered in a spirit of adoration and ingratitude. Now, I want to show you something in Matthew chapter 6 at the very beginning, because there's two temptations that he identifies that we all face that threaten this, threaten our solid joy and lasting treasure, because it takes our eyes off of trusting in God. In Matthew 6, verse 1, he says, beware of something, practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Now the temptation here is to live your life as for the praise of men, to look for their acknowledgement of what you're doing. He says, don't do that. Beware of practicing this type of righteousness. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, you have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that giving may be done in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Coram Deo, before the face of God, that we are in the presence of God. As we think about that, when we think about these temptations, we all face the temptation to live for the praise of men. We worry about what men think. I brought a treasure chest that a guy actually restored. And the reason why this treasure chest is here today is to give you an example of something. You notice the rounded top. When people would travel, they would take this. You would carry this like luggage. Can you imagine lugging that thing to the airport? It has a rounded top for a reason, because you were a little more wealthy if you had a rounded top case, because that way nobody would stack their stuff on top of it. Kenny Schmalbach made that for me over in Monongahela. Some of you know Kenny. He was a blessing to me. But what it's saying is that there's treasure, that we're putting stuff away. Jesus says, in your righteous acts, you shouldn't worry about the praise of men. Secondly, he says, beware of finding or seeking happiness and satisfaction on what is earthly, visible, but transient, temporary, because those things don't last. So as we look at this passage, Jesus says there's righteous things. And if you look at chapter 6, 1 through 18, he talks about giving to the needy. He talks about praying. He talks about fasting. These are all religious things that we do, but he says don't do those things in order to be seen by men. Don't look to find satisfaction. Don't look to find happiness in things that are earthly, temporal, and transient. In other words, don't put your heart there. Know that those things are good and that it's okay to have those things. And God wants you to enjoy those things, but he wants you to give glory to God for all that you've been given and thank him for everything that you've received and to use it for his glory and for their good, for your good and others' goods. So as we think about that, what happens to most people is that we fall into these temptations. Jesus tells his disciples who are all around him he's talking to mainly believers about what it means to be a Christian. And a Christian should not store up earthly treasure. He talks about two types of treasure, earthly treasure and heavenly treasure. We're going to look at the first one, earthly treasure. What is earthly? He says, do not lay up for yourselves treasure on earth. Now, he didn't say that you do not lay up treasure. He said, do not lay up treasure for yourselves on the earth. Why? Because they're unseen. I'm sorry, they are seen, but they are transient and temporary. They depreciate. They decay. Thieves break in and try to steal them. Moths will eat them. Rust will eat it. Thieves will try to steal it. Now I want to show you what I have in my treasure chest this morning. Okay, these are my Speedos from back in the day. My mom gave them to my wife to embarrass me. This baseball is about 40 years old. It's supposed to be softer than a hard ball, but I'm telling you right now, if you get beamed by this thing, it hurts. Okay, now this I was given to from my days back in peewee basketball. I remember how bright and blue this thing is. Now it's probably not as bright and not as blue, but it says Belpre Peewee Basketball. I remember how proud I was. And then this is what I used to wear when I played baseball for the Dodgers. you didn't know I played for the Dodgers. And this is my hat. Back in the day, you used to bend your hat like this. For you guys out there, instead of keeping it straight, you bend it and you had it cornered off. That was the cool way of wearing your hat. Anybody remember that? Amen? Yeah, see, some of you guys know how that works. But all of that stuff is not going to last. And I can't take it with me. And that's what Jesus says. Don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. They're transient, they're temporary, they depreciate, they decay, and thieves try to break in and steal. And I don't think anybody's going to try to break in and steal anything. They would steal the trunk before they would steal the stuff that was in the trunk. But we do those things, right? We hold on to those things, but we're not going to be able to take that with me. And so we have to understand that that's what Jesus is saying. For the Christian, we don't want to store up treasure on the earth. We don't want to put our heart, our satisfaction in transient things that don't last. So where should we put our treasure? We want to receive what we've been given, and we want to receive it thankfully and use it for God's glory, but we don't set our affection. Where do we want to put our treasure? We want to put our treasure in heaven, and our heavenly treasure is better. Lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven. Why? Because it's unseen and it's eternal. The things that I'm trying to teach my kids to store up in their heart that I want to leave as a legacy to them is unseen, but it will last them for eternity. And that's the thing that's important. But they can only see it with spiritual eyes. Do you understand that? Because I'm trying to set up my earthly treasure. They see me storing up things, but I use it for God's glory and for God's good. They see me tithing. They see me giving money to the church. They talk about how much money we give. We've talked about that to them because they say, wow, you give a lot of money. Tithing 10% of your income. But what we're trying to say is that this has value to us that's unseen and eternal. It's protected from loss. It's protected from liability. It's protected from theft. As we think about the treasure principle, Randy Alcorn says something that's interesting. He says, you can't take it with you, but you can send it on ahead. And that's what we want to place in their hearts, to leave a legacy of storing up treasure, but storing it in the right place in heaven. But what do we need to do if we need to check our hearts, Jesus says? How come we have to check our hearts? Look at verse 21. For where your treasure is, how do you know whether it's on the earth or if it's in heaven? Where your treasure is, there your heart will follow. Your heart, your affections will follow your treasure. And you need to set your affections on heaven, not on earth. And true happiness is found in treasuring God. Isn't that true? That our hearts follow our treasure. Where we look to find satisfaction, our hearts follow our treasure. True happiness is treasuring God. Set your affections on heaven. You remember what Jesus said to the rich young ruler? What did he tell him? He said, I've done all these things to be perfect. What do I need to do to be perfect? Jesus said, sell everything. I mean, that would be hard to hear. That would check your heart up, wouldn't it? To say, give everything to the poor. He says, sell everything, give to the needy. And then he says something interesting. He says, follow me. What did the rich young ruler do? He walked away. He turned away from the one who was the light and life of the world. Why did Jesus tell him that? Well, I believe that it was because he knew that his heart was tied to the wrong God. His heart was tied to the money and to having the values of the world. Jesus is saying to the rich young ruler, sell what you possess, not for personal gain, but give it away. Come and follow me. Look at verse 22. He says, check your heart, but your eyes are also the problem. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? In other words, he's telling the rich young ruler, and he's telling us as believers, that if we need to have spiritual eyesight. If our eyes are bad and they're not, an unconverted person can't see the kingdom of heaven, why would they invest in it? The unnatural person, the worldly person cannot see the value in faith. They don't see it. They don't value it. and so they can't see it. But you need to be spiritual to be able to see this. So if the whole eye is healthy, if you can see what Jesus is talking about, if you can see the kingdom of heaven, that it's unseen, but that it's for eternity, that it protects your treasure from theft and liability, then you'll put your money there. Can I have God and money? Jesus answers that question. You can have both, but you cannot serve both. The rich young ruler claimed to have both God and mammon. Which one did he serve? The one that he couldn't give it up for. He served something that he couldn't live without. Anytime we serve something, we say we can't live without it. It's become an idol. Jesus said you cannot serve God and money. Why? Well, he says your treasure shows where your heart is, and your heart shows who your Lord is. That's important for us to understand. You cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon being things means money. Look what he says in verse 24. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Check your heart, check your eyes, and then look at your actions. Because these things play out, don't they? They see. My kids see more about how I live than the way that I talk, right? They catch what I say. They see how I act and live. They know whether I put value on what God is asking me to put value into. They see me whether I really believe in this Bible by the way I live. And that's what Jesus is saying here. It's going to play out in the way that you live. So how should you live? Well, I believe that you should leave a legacy, and leaving a legacy is important. You should live in coram deo, or deo, before the face of God, that everything you do, that you're under God's gaze. And notice it said, when he was talking about giving to the needy, he said, your Father in heaven will see what you're doing, and he will reward you. You remember the widow? The widow's mite? Out of all the people that walked up to the temple to give, who did he notice? He noticed her. He noticed, he said something very interesting about her. She gave all she had. They gave out of the abundance of what they had. They gave what was left over. And Jesus is telling us to live in such a way that we know and we believe that we're laying up treasure in heaven. And lastly, that we're leaving a legacy of treasuring God and lasting joy. Now, why would I say that? Well, I believe that souls are being saved here. I believe that marriages are strengthened. A lot of these things are unseen except for in the body when it plays out into the body. And that leaders are being developed and ministry is multiplied. And those things have spiritual value. They are lasting treasure. They will bring solid joy. It doesn't fade away. And I'm going to have Beth and Pete Brooks come up and share their personal testimony on their legacy of giving.
Well, good morning. 22 years ago, we belonged to a church that was running out of space. We had to knock down walls to make room for worship and children's ministry, much like what we're doing here. Our children at the time were 12, 10, and 5, and the church had the opportunity to build, and we had the opportunity to participate. And thinking about what was most important to us, especially at that time in our lives, we realized that anything that we could do to provide our children with the gospel and a Christian education would have eternal consequences. We wanted to lay up treasures for ourselves in heaven, and our biggest treasure in heaven will be having our children there.
So we joined with the church in providing our time, talent, and treasure toward the building project. And as many of you already know, that building is where we're sitting here today. The South Hills Evangelical Free Church moved here in 1997 and became Water Dam Church. We all try to balance things in our lives, and that includes our finances. We adapt a certain style of living, spend our money certain ways, give so much to the church, and we try to make them all balanced so that ends meet at the end of the month. But we all recognize then that giving to a building project is going to require sacrifice. There's something on our list that has to go to make room for providing for the building. And it may require us to reprioritize our spending and our thinking. So as you get the Randy Alcorn books next week, and as we hear Jack talking about the treasure principle, and as over the next couple months you hear more about Water Dam Church's plans and vision for the future, we hope that you would consider what's most important in your lives and how God might be asking you to impact future generations through Water Dam Church. So let's pray.